Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
And good Saturday afternoon. Thanks for tuning in to catch our drift. Joining me in studio, Brandon Drake.
Good Saturday afternoon to you as well.
Yeah, good to have you aboard. It's sunny. It's warm out for a change.
Beautiful.
Goodbye, winter. Just jinxed ourselves. You know, it's going to get cold next week.
Right? It's a great day to go out and get a sunburn.
Okay, well, welcome to the drift. This is what
feel
we
the
do.
Burn.
Feel the burn. Yes, feel the burn. Burns feeling the burn right now with the delicate steal by Hillary Clinton and the DNC. Debbie Wasserman Schultz stealing all those delegates.
Schultz? I know nothing.
All right, well, what we do on The Drift every Saturday is go over the news of the week that we put on The Daily Drift. And if you're not going to The Daily Drift, you should be. It's the news you need to know. Get over there, www.thedailydrift.com, and get involved. So, and if you want to advertise in the Current newspaper this for the May edition, make sure you call me, 734-629-6010, and advertise in the Current. We've grown our newspaper 500% in the last decade. It's been a pretty bad decade, but we've managed some pretty phenomenal growth. So get hold of me or go to currentonline.com, currantonline.com.
Currentonline.com.
You rant. Well, we do rant on this show. That's what we do. You can call into the show, 734-822-1600. And let's take care of a little business. Regency of Whitmore Lake has 24-hour nursing care, long-term care, subacute rehab, secure memory unit, life enrichment, and all the good things that you need if you got a little rehabilitation or need some extra care. So Regency of Whitmore Lake, you can go to www.siennahealthcare.com. That's Sienna, C-I-E-N-A, healthcare.com. Or you can call them at 734-449-5505. It's right down the street from my house. So they've done a really nice job renovating the place. It's in top condition. Great people. Get over there and give them a holler if you need some help with rehab.
When I hear the word subacute, it reminds me of the subcutaneous fat around my belly from the winter.
Well, yes, slightly below. I don't know. My Latin is. Did I ever tell you I had a Latin class in sixth grade? We had a teacher.
In sixth grade.
It's public schools, mind you.
Oh, but it was pig Latin, wasn't it?
No. This teacher said, you know, kids, I'm tired of teaching English. You think we can get away with just learning Latin this year? We all went, yes, because we don't want to learn English again, right? So he taught us Latin for the entire year. And nobody complained. I'm sure nowadays they'd probably throw him under the bus or suspend him or something. But you know, it stuck with me because I can look at words I don't know. And because of that year of Latin, I can normally figure out what it is, what it means, how to pronounce it, that sort of thing. Latin is so important.
Absolutely. I read a book on learning the meaning of words. And Latin and Greek seem to be the two main 80% of our English words seem to come from those two languages. So you learn the roots, and you can figure out most meanings of most words.
The roots of civilization.
A little bit of German in there, too.
Okay, well, something else we learned from the Greeks was a little bit about democracy, right? And Jimmy Scheel called us in last week from he having just attended the Michigan Convention, which picked our delegates to go to the National Convention for the RNC. That's the Republican side of the ticket. And we discovered that, according to Jimmy, that the delegation had...
Not all is kosher.
And we've got a special guest calling in today, Bill Gordon, a friend of mine who also attended. Bill, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Bill, are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you stellar. Perfect. It's great. So, Bill, you went to the convention, the Michigan convention last week, right?
That's correct. I was a delegate from the 12th District.
Okay.
Which is... Ann Arbor, Ypsilanti, and parts east.
Okay, and let me ask you, so having attended when the slate was brought forward, did you have any input into the slate that the state brought forward, that the RNC brought forward for sending to Cleveland?
For the at-large delegates that are picked over and above what happened when the individual district caucuses?
Mm-hmm.
No, other than the delegates have to approve the slate from the floor. And it was an interesting event. I can see why people would be chagrined. They basically put the names up on a video board, and you had a chance to look at them for a short period of time, not more than a minute or so, not long enough to write them down. And then the chair called from the, you know, from the podium for a vote. And I did not hear a great deal of protest from my point in the hall, and it probably depends on where you were standing as to how, you know, whether anybody was protesting how it went down. My thoughts on it, my only saving grace on the whole thing is my understanding was that all three of the campaigns had input and were, you know, given significant input on who got picked for those alternate spots. And it's really about who got picked for the Trump spots, because the Kasich and Cruz alternate spots were only three each, so it's pretty limited. And, you know, basically the most high-profile people are going to go, like Lieutenant Governor Calley is a Kasich delegate.
Right.
Not going to bump him, probably.
Right. Well, you know, and that's the aggravating part, because you know Brian Calley is going to vote for Kasich on round one because he has to, and he's going to vote for him on round two because he has to, and probably three, four, and five, however there many are, because that's who he's backing.
Mm-hmm.
But let me tell you something. So when Jimmy told us this last week and the list came out, you know, I went into high gear from an investigative standpoint. I don't do this a lot anymore because I'm kind of burning out. I hate to say it. I'm just burning out. But I was so incensed by what Jimmy told us last week that I went ahead and I did a little background check on the Trump delegates, right? And so let's be positive, right? The guys that I looked up their social media accounts, the Twitter, the Facebook, and looked for them. Because if you're a Trump supporter, you're pretty vocal about it. That's one thing you can say about Trump supporters. They're doggone vocal.
Sure.
Me included. I'm all over my Twitter and Facebook with Trump. And I know I've got friends who are Cruz supporters, and they give me grief all the time, which is fine. You know, we're friends. I can take the heat. I got thick skin. But let's do something good here. I went through and I found the following people who are indeed Trump delegates and who I know will vote round one because they have to, but they'll also vote for Trump, and I expect them to stick by it for two or three votes anyways. In the end, if it's not going to happen, I can understand you have to compromise. That's the process, right?
Mm, exactly.
But Senator Jack Brandenburg from here in Michigan, good guy. Mm. Obviously, you look at his Twitter and Facebook, big Trump supporter. Google him up. You'll see it. He's a Trump supporter. Amy Carl, thank you for being a Trump supporter. Scott Hagerstrom, also, big Trump supporter. Matt Hall.
Chair of the campaign.
Yeah, thank you very much. Matt Hall, great supporter. Senator Joe Hune, kind of surprised me a little bit. I didn't think he was going to be a Trump supporter, but he is.
He is.
Chris Morris, Trump supporter, and obviously shows his support on all the social media. Deb Mante, Diane Schindelbeck, and Michonne Maddock, all big Trump supporters. Pretty easy to see that. When you've got lists and lists of posts that are pro-Trump, I feel very comfortable with those people, okay?
Sure.
I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't get a chance to go through the Cruz people. And I'm going to say this right now. Those of you who are Cruz supporters, do your homework. And don't rely on me to do it. I'll get to it eventually. But you know what? Do your homework. Because if you are a delegate to the national convention, you should have enough faith and honor to stand by your delegate through a few votes. I mean, Kasich is the guy that should be worried. He's the loser in the pack. He's the one that should be worried. But there were a couple of unknowns that didn't have any Facebook or Twitter accounts, Glenn Frobel and Janine Kateff, so I couldn't say whether they were kind of pro or not. But then there were people that kind of had my spider senses tangling, and this was a Mary Balkema, who is politically connected, seems establishment, not a Twitter or Facebook post with anything Trump-related. Kathy Burden, another establishment-connected person, no Trump or Facebook on Twitter or Facebook. Steve Boren, the same. Brant Eyden, the same. Rick Johnson, Ed McBroom, Wes Nakagiri. I know Wes a little bit. I sent him a message asking him, hey, Wes, are you really a Trump supporter? And if not, is there a reason why you happen to be a Trump supporter?
I can comment on some of these. Keep going.
Okay. If you do, just jump in. Any of those people?
Well, I I'm assured that Wes is a Trump supporter. I have no doubt about that.
Okay. Well, it's good to know. It's good to know. I'll take him off the thing. What's interesting is I just didn't see anything.
Silent majority.
Yeah, well,
well, there you go. All right, so Wes, my apologies for putting you on that list. If you are indeed a Trump supporter, I love you. Thank you very much. I say that. I'm not mad at anyone if they're a Cruz supporter. You know what I mean? What bothers me is that
Just truth in advertising, I am a alternate delegate for Ted Cruz, just so you know.
Okay, so you're a Cruz supporter.
Correct.
Okay, so and that's fine.
I have been for a couple years, so it's not like I'm trying to dance around anything.
Yeah, and he's still my second pick. I'm not real happy with a lot of the things that he's done. Mm. Would I vote for him over Hillary or Bernie? Absolutely.
Exactly.
But I'm not happy with the way he has handled his campaign. I think he's done, and we can talk about that later. But what about any of the others so far that I mentioned?
Well, I know Kathy Burden relatively well. I've talked to her several times. She's certainly a good conservative person.
Yeah.
I have no doubt about her values. I think Kathy, and you were probably heading towards Ronna Romney McDaniel, who I believe is on that list.
Yeah.
In both those cases, they are automatic delegates to the National Convention. And under the Michigan rules, they have to be committed to somebody.
Right.
And I can only assume that the campaigns discussed this and it was, you know, agreed upon. I think in both their cases, they're very honorable people, and they've pretty much taken a public commitment that they will support Trump as long as Trump's a candidate.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll take your word for it. Social media is not everything, so it's not the be-all and end-all.
I know Ronna catches a lot of heat different times. I think she's a good person and relatively in line with, you know, conservative Tea Party views or whatever. But you have to realize she's state party chair. She has to talk to everybody.
Right, right.
So.
Okay, so another one on the list then, Gustavo Portela, Ronna Romney McDaniel, which you just talked about. Here's a guy that should not be a Trump delegate in my book. Ian Shetron, Shetron. No pro anything. Mm-hmm. A definite Kasich supporter, which makes, you know, all I'm saying, Bill, is that if you're a delegate for Trump, you ought to be honorable enough and a strong enough supporter to stick by him. Because here's my thought. Mm-hmm. The two biggest guys from the Michigan primary were way out front, Donald Trump, and then Ted Cruz, and Kasich ran a close third. So you know what? On a second or third ballot, the top two guys shouldn't be shedding their votes, especially if they're shedding them to Kasich. And let me ask you this. Are we going to know how those second, third, and fourth, is there going to be a record of those ballots?
I have never been to a national convention. It's my first time, so I can't tell you how the process works from any past experience. I would be relatively certain that the people within the Michigan delegation are going to know how people are voting. What the exact process, if it's a recorded vote or if it's done in a caucus form, I don't know that.
Right. Well, I'm hoping...
I have a feeling, I'm pretty certain, me being there or whoever's the delegate at the moment on the floor is going to know what people are doing.
Okay. Are you going to Cleveland?
Hmm?
Are you going to Cleveland?
Oh, yes.
Okay, so I'm hoping I can count on you to try and keep track and bring us back some of that information. Because I'd like to know with these, if there are people who are Trump delegates or Cruz delegates, and they immediately on the second vote go to Kasich, I want to know. Because you know what? Those people are not honorable. Those people do not belong as delegates in my book because they're just phonies. They're just political hacks.
And I
don't care if you're Cruz.
There certainly can be concern of that or people in sheep's clothing, trying to impersonate other delegates. There's certainly reason to be concerned in some cases. I know from my experience, both of the delegations that affect Washtenaw County, the people involved made very public statements that they were going to support the candidate that they're dedicated to till they're not a candidate.
Right.
And in the case of Kasich delegates in the 12th district, there were only two that filed. So those people are Kasich delegates, but I don't know, you know, two or three ballots down the road where they're going to go.
Right.
So it can go both ways. I do know that, you know, the Trump delegation, if it holds together, has the majority in the delegation. And they've showed that they exercised that in the first meeting of delegates we had where we had to elect committee people.
Okay, so let me continue down this list here. How about a Sharon Tyler?
Nope. Don't know, Sharon.
Okay, no Twitters, no Facebooks for Trump. Susan Kamielski. I didn't see any Twitters of Trump's for her.
Susan Shimolewski?
Shimolewski.
I mean, she's committed to Trump until Trump's not a candidate.
All right, good. Good for her. Thank you very much.
And same with Pauline Monty.
Okay. And then Dennis Marburger and Linda Burns Torp. Ring a bell?
I think Dennis is a Trump person.
Just odd. You know, people are politically
active. The second one you
mentioned,
I don't think I know.
Yeah, when you're using Twitter, you would think they would at least express their opinion who they're backing. But okay,
yeah, it depends on what other agendas they've got. Some people remain neutral for various reasons.
Right. All right. Now, can you shed any light on the other thought? The story was that the Kasich and the Trump people worked together to kind of squeeze out some Trump people on committees and things like that.
Fascinating thing. I was present for that. That was, of course, being a Cruz person, I was involved with the Cruz caucus, if you will, and there appeared to have been some discussions ahead of time because the Cruz people, we were instructed of four people to vote for committees. There were four committees, and they selected a man and a woman from the Michigan delegation for each of the committees. So eight people are being elected, and we were given four people to vote for. One of the stories I saw out there was that the Cruz camp tried to take all the positions, and that's why the Kasich people jumped over and allied with the Trump people, which is kind of what happened.
So it's a little
I would say, first off, that, as far as I can see, is just not true, because the delegates for Cruz were only given four to vote for. That means somebody else was going to get the other four.
Right.
But what happened was there was some kind of last-minute maneuvering, I think, in the last 10 minutes before the meeting was held, and Kasich and Trump people allied, and they had the numbers together that there wasn't any chance for Cruz people to be elected to those committees. So, you know, politics is politics. I tend to believe that it probably came down from national, that there was discussions going up the tree and down, and somebody at the top gave their blessing to the idea.
Right.
What that means, I'm not sure.
Okay.
I listened to Kasich's speech in New York the other day, and he didn't seem like a Trump fan. So whether, you know, there's a possibility that Kasich is trying to run for vice president to be Trump's vice president.
I don't
buy that for a second.
It
doesn't seem
probably
likely,
yeah.
But nonetheless, you're trying to understand why the two of them would ally, other than that in the moment, it might have been a decision to box Cruz people out of key positions. You know, there's a gentleman named Chuck Yob, who I believe is a Kasich person.
Yes, he's on the Kasich list.
And he got elected to the Rules Committee. And, you know, the Rules Committee is going to be the big area discussion. And there was a woman who was a Trump person, and Chuck Yob got elected to that Rules Committee from the Michigan delegation.
Okay.
That, to me, tells a lot that the Yob family is famous for being political maneuverers, and so I wouldn't be shocked if they were politically maneuvering.
Okay. Well, Bill, stay in touch with us before and during that convention, if you would, please. I appreciate all your information. It's quite enlightening. And stay in touch and call us again. Love having the extra information.
I'd say accepting the little political maneuvering about the committees, it went relatively well, and I don't think people should be overly concerned about it. You might be able to find individuals that are kind of hiding out as a delegate here and there, but overall, I think people are going to be pretty honorable about it. I mean, you never know in politics. It remains to be seen, but I did not come out of the convention feeling like everybody got, you know, terribly ripped off in the deal or anything like that.
Okay, good. All right. Well, thank you very much, Bill. I appreciate the call.
Yeah, good work, Bill.
Yep.
Excellent information.
And thank you for your service. Thanks for doing it. I know it's kind of a hassle to get out there and take time out of your schedule to do this, but it's good.
It's going to be interesting.
Yes, I'm sure it will. Well, keep in touch. Get lots of information for us.
All right.
Take care, Bill. Thank you. Let's take a call from Jenny, Brownstown. Jenny, what's going on?
I'm just going to change it up a little bit. I want to tell you guys something. Brandon, you inspired me.
Ooh.
And
I'm just too modest to admit it and bring it up.
Well, that's true, but anyway, I've been going toward this. I finally got rid of the cable TV part of my cable, and I still have internet, but I've had it.
Yeah. Yeah, so, well, you know, you spend a lot of money on cable, and if you add that up over the years, that's thousands of dollars to what, be frustrated?
Yeah, I mean, if you only watch it five times in the last 9 months, 10 months, and only maybe three times or something since New Year's,
mm-hmm.
two times, you know, it's time to go.
Sure. Yeah, no, I've never had cable, and I always told myself that I'll never pay for television. So I've got the rabbit ears, and I get a handful of stations at best, and I don't even watch the crap that's on these limited stations. So
yeah, I'm not even going to buy an antenna. I got my VCR hooked up to my TV. I got lots of tapes.
Hey,
I'm good.
That's all you need.
I still have internet.
You guys are joining the hermit crowd. That's what you're doing.
I like that VCR thing, not even a DVD. You're old school. I like it.
Yeah, I am.
The only VCRs I got, tapes I've got left, Jenny, are stuff like Veggie Tales and stuff from when the kids were young.
Oh, okay.
I can bring those down to you if you want. Some of the tunes are pretty catchy. A little Veggie Tales. But all right. Well, thanks for the call, Jenny. Anything else?
I deal with it. I mean, you know, I would fight with them and argue with them, and you know, try to get down to a reasonable place, and they would do it for a while, and they just raised me up again, and my bill was going to be $104, and I don't even have premium, you know, HBO or any of that stuff. I just had digital preferred, and, you know, because they stuck me because I only liked a couple channels, and one of which was on that digital preferred package.
And so, well, I understand. That's what happens when you don't have competition.
And, you know, being the being the former accountant that I am, too, now you just mentioned it could have been $104 a month, so that's over $1,200 a year, $1,200 a year net. Most people don't think about the fact that to spend $1,200, you probably have to gross about $1,600 because that $400 goes to the state and federal government for taxes. So to have cable television, it probably would have cost more along the lines of, you know, $1,600? What am I talking about? Yeah, $1,600 a year, and over 10 years, $16,000+ to have television that you don't like or listen to.
Well, all you can
do has to do with politics, because the economy, the way it is, you know, you can't. Your savings doesn't grow, nothing grows, and so you can't afford to do all these things might even like to do.
That sounds like a great question for a Democratic debate. It's a little softball. Hey, what are you going to do with my cable bill?
Well, you know, I know people.
Bernie, everybody should have cable for free. We're going to give free cable to everybody. That's a human right to have cable.
Well, see, I know people, though, that have cable. They can't pay their other bills that really count, and they'll complain and complain. They'll say, well, do you have cable? Well, yeah. We'll get rid of the cable. I can't do that.
They're
willing to be homeless instead of giving up their cable.
The guy down there on the exit's got cable.
You guys know that's not me, so, you know, but I mean.
Well, hang in there, Jenny. Your cable bills will someday go down when you
switch. Well, now they are, because I even got a credit from them for $70.
Nice.
So,
well,
you
can always go DirecTV, go satellite.
No, I'm not doing that. It's not worth it.
No, it's not.
They're high, too. So I'm just sticking with my internet, playing with my little streaming device, which I use all day, most of the day.
One word for you, Jenny. Roku.
You know,
and you've got AM radio. What else do you need?
That's right. You got us.
There you go.
When you get bored, tune in and catch us, okay? All right, Jenny. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Take care.
Yep.
All right. We can't get to Jimmy yet because I think we're at the bottom of the hour here almost, Derek. But I do want to remind people, you know what? Do this homework yourselves. For you cruise people, and I'll be happy to give you some time next week, go out and look at your cruise delegates from the state of Michigan here, or any state. If anybody from any of our listeners want to call in, let us know what your delegates are. It's real easy. Just look them up. Take that name. Search it on Twitter and Facebook. That's the two biggies. Google them as well. And you'll be able to see whether they're really a supporter of your candidate or not.
And when we come back, I'm going to share with the listeners the fact that I know what's going to happen in Cleveland in July. I have a crystal ball. It's going to be very clear. So all this talk about delegates and the minutia, it doesn't even matter. I've already got the answer as to what's coming.
The force is with you. Okay, we'll see you on the other side of the break.
Wham! Talk 1600.
Hey, my blood brothers of freedom. This is Ted Nugent.
Southeast Michigan's conservative powerhouse.
God bless Ann Arbor and Wham! Radio. I started doing interviews on Wham! Radio around 1966. I celebrate and promote the God-given individual right as guaranteed in the U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights, for us to defend ourselves, to keep and bear arms. And just to make sure everyone understands what we the people understand, keep can only mean one thing. That's it's mine and you can't have it.
Wham!
Fox News Radio, I'm Joe Chiro. Polls show Donald Trump leads his Republican rivals in New York, where he's campaigning.
Don't believe the polls. Do not. You know, I had one poll come out today that's so high, I don't want you to believe the polls. Pretend we're losing.
Trump in Syracuse. Ted Cruz expected to sweep Wyoming at its GOP convention today. The Palm Beach Zoo is closed after a zookeeper was killed by a tiger.
As a family here, as a zoo family, we are mourning the loss of our lead keeper, 38-year-old Stacy Conweiser.
Zoo spokesperson Naki Carter. The tiger is recovering from tranquilizers. A spring snowstorm expected to dump up to several feet of snow along the eastern foothills of Colorado, Wyoming. More than 800 Denver flights have been canceled. Fox News, we report, you decide.
It's time now for Wham! Talk 1600's Community Calendar with Brandon Drake.
Michigan may be voting to legalize marijuana in the November 2016 general election. Come to participate in a pro-con discussion featuring Jeffrey A. Hank, Lansing attorney and executive director of the ballot group MI Legalize, and Chief Robert Stevenson, retired executive director, Michigan Association of Chiefs of Police. It'll be at the Plymouth Community Forum Tuesday, May 3rd at Plymouth District Library, 223 South Main Street in Plymouth. It'll take place from 7 to 8:45 p.m. The Dawn Farm Education Series is designed to provide helpful information in place of the misinformation, secrecy, shame, and stigma that prevent people with addiction and their families from getting help and getting well. Cultivating Mindfulness to Support Recovery will be presented on Tuesday, May 17th. The Recovering Body will be presented on Tuesday, May 24th, and In the Doctor's Office, Recovery Friend or Foe, will be presented on Tuesday, May 31st. All presentations take place from 7:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. at St. Joseph Mercy Hospital Education Center Auditorium, 5305 Elliott Drive in Ypsilanti. Admission is free. For more information, call 734-485-8725 or visit dawnfarm.org. Habitat for Humanity of Huron Valley helps local low-income families obtain the dream of homeownership for themselves and their families. To learn more, call 734-677-1558 or visit www.h4h.org. That's H, the number 4h.org.
You've been listening to the Wham! Community Calendar. To have your event publicized, email community at whamradio.com or write to Brandon Drake, COWAAM, 4230 Packard Road, Ann Arbor, 48108. You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome back. Thanks for tuning in to Catch Our Drift. Joining me in studio, Brandon Drake.
Hey, great to be here. And as I alluded before the break, I know what's going to happen in Cleveland because I have a crystal ball. Now, Gary, I want you to stare into this crystal ball that I have on the table here. The listeners can't see it, but we can. And in July,
it's blue.
There's going to be, of course, at least, what, two ballots?
At least two.
At least two. This, into the crystal ball, let's all look, let's all kind of do the old seance thing here, that this is what's going to happen. And Derek's asleep.
The computer's freezing.
On top of the story you just told me, which was as un-PC as it comes.
Yes, I'm brave.
I'm just laughing. Well, when you get it, Derek, you can give us the results from the crystal ball.
The PC is freezing up.
Here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, the RNC is proud to present your nominee and the next president of the United States, Senator Ted Cruz.
He is a liar!
It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? It's a neighborly day in this beauty wood, a neighborly day for a beauty. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? I have always wanted to have a neighbor just like you. I've always wanted to live in a neighborhood.
Bring it all together.
With you, so let's make the most of this beautiful day. Since we're together, we might as well say, would you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor?
Oh, boy, does he lie.
Won't you please? Won't you please?
It's a phony deal.
Please, won't you be my neighbor?
Did anybody tell you that this is the private club of the Satan's helpers?
Nobody hit me to that, dude.
It's off limits!
Oh, well, my mistake.
A little bit of trouble. I sense it.
I'll be on my way then.
You know, the system, folks, is rigged. It's a rigged system. Now, you have to understand, I'm not complaining about the states that I won. Those are okay.
Well, there you go.
That's how it'll be.
That's the future.
Dude, if it's that tame, I'll be amazed. I can't imagine it being that tame, really, honestly.
I like how Ted tried to bring the crowd together, and the unity of the party was, you know, he wants everyone to be his neighbor. And he's got that way about him to just, he's a leader of men and women to make people want to go through a wall for him. Don't you feel that in his charisma?
No.
Me either.
Not at all. He's like Grandpa Munster, dude. That's the meme I see all the time, I think.
I don't know. Grandpa Munster had a lot of charisma. I'd follow him anywhere. He can do anything. Anything is possible with Grandpa.
All right, let's take a call from Jimmy in Manchester. Jimmy, welcome to the show. Sir, thank you for waiting, sir. You were very patient.
Oh, no problem.
Jimmy,
actually enjoyed listening to Bill. I know Bill, you know, he's been around for a while. Good delegate, good person. And I understand that he didn't see what I saw there.
Jimmy, first, were you inspired by Ted Cruz's attempt to unify the Republican Party?
Inspired, I don't think is the right word. But, I mean, I got what he's doing. I mean, that's okay. You know, that's what he should do. You know,
you don't want to be his neighbor?
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. I don't know about inspiration, but, you know, what gets me about the whole thing is that the integrity of the system is what broke down. That's what I didn't like about the entire thing, is that there was no integrity. They took integrity out of the system, and that just sticks in my craw. And I understand how Bill didn't see that, because there's so much confusion on the floor. It's hard to tell. I made a mistake. I thought that there was, I thought that Dave Aguma was helping her, and he wasn't. And I didn't understand that till later. It's very confusing what's going on, so you can't always see everything. And these people want to talk about the rules and the parliamentary procedure and all this and that all the time, but they never obey it when it comes time to challenge them. That's the part that gets me. I don't know. But anyway, what we're doing is we're organizing, because you have got to get on the inside of these district caucuses. You've got to sit on the committees. You've got to take over a chairmanship or two. And that's what we're doing right now, because we're having another convention in August where we'll reelect all new people. And we have got to get the right people in there, and we've got to be organized to do it. That's the only way.
Yeah, and so what do you do, Jimmy? Do you get each of the county caucuses or county RNCs together and try and take them over, or what? How do you do that?
Well, that's what you do. You organize. You have your slate of candidates ready that you're going to nominate, because you got to be Johnny on the spot to nominate these people.
Yeah.
And you got to be paying attention when they're having their meeting, because they open and close the nominations very quickly. And so you've got to be ready to go. And you've got, the only way you can do that is through organization. And I would say that each district should get together with like-minded people, whether it's in the Tea Party, the Campaign for Liberty, whatever, and figure out what you're going to do, and then do it. You got to be right there with your nomination. You got to be right there with your second, so that you can get on the ballot for at least an up or down vote.
All right, and so let me ask you, when you do your votes in an election, you'll always see delegates at the bottom of your ballot sheets. More people should be involved in running for those delegates, right? Because it always seems like sometimes there's no choice at all. There's one guy, and you have no choice but to pick him or leave it blank. So do we need more people to step up and become delegates?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
There are open spots in Freedom Township, Sylvan Township, Sharon Township, Bridgewater Township has some openings. And all you have to do is fill out your paperwork before May 3rd. You're on the ballot and you win. And it's two meetings a year. It's not a big deal. The other thing is it's nice to have to caucus with these people, like in your district. That's what we do here. I'm pretty much the precinct captain here in Manchester, but I do meet with all of my people and the community leaders, and so we're all on the same page. I mean, I take it very seriously. A lot of the delegates don't do what I do. But,
right. Well, you are. I will say that. You have, you're one of those guys who's jumped in, and instead of becoming a third-party rabble-rouser, you and some of your friends at the Washtenaw County GOP have really stepped up and tried to make a difference. So my hat's off, man. You've always been a hard worker, and I appreciate you the service that you do there, Jimmy.
Hey, Jimmy, I got a quick question for you. And this is going to probably be a really stupid question, but does the state constitution play any part or a big part in how the Republican and Democrat and any other party, how they have to operate in this state as far as their rules?
No, not really. I mean, as far as I would actually like to see the parties taken out of the process of the vote. That way we could get third and fourth and fifth parties in to the whole thing. The problem is that we're part of the process, and there's really no... other than what Ruth Johnson does as far as elections go and things like that, are the only mechanism for complaining about it.
Yeah,
and that's the problem. And you know, I talked to Ruth up there, and you know, and she knows what's going on. There's a lot of vote fraud all over the whole state, but she's only one person. She can only do so much. You know, I mean, you can't prove it all. You put one fire out, there's three over here, you know.
I've got phone lines jacking up real quick here, but let me close out and say this then, Jimmy. What you're saying is people should volunteer and put your name on the ballot as a delegate, mm-hmm. try to become a delegate. Poll watchers is also probably a pretty important position to help Ruth Johnson make
and
sure that there is.
And poll challengers.
And poll challengers, okay.
A big one. And we have training for that. We actually have training. We will teach you how to do that.
Yeah.
We have classes on how to get it done. And anybody, you don't have to be a delegate to be a poll watcher or a poll challenger.
Okay. Well, do this for me, Jimmy. Put together, we've talked before about having a story or something, but put something together for me between now and Election Day, and the sooner the better we can maybe get some people who will step up to the plate and do these things. Would you please?
Okay. Do you get to wear a beret at the poll?
I actually have a journalistic article that you will be getting within the next week or so. It's being edited right now by my cousin, who's a professional journalist, so he's going to tweak it a little bit and make it nice. So
okay. All right. Well, good. Thanks, Jimmy.
Right.
I appreciate it. You take care.
All right, have a good day.
All right, thank you, sir. All right, so let's take care of a little business. Nowatzky Truck and Trailer on Whitmore Lake Road in Whitmore Lake, 734-995-9600. It's a Marathon Fuel Center, but it's also shopping and all your fuel needs under one roof. It's open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So all year long during your holidays or late at night, you need the milk and you don't have any milk for morning, you can go to Nowatzky Truck and Trailer. Right at exit 49 on US 23, it's North Territorial Road there. So hit them up, 734-995-9600. That's Nowatzky Truck and Trailer. All your shopping and fuel needs under one roof. All right, let's take a call from Ed. Did I hit the right line? Ed, how are you doing, man?
Hey, pretty good. I heard you playing my theme song. I'm your neighbor.
I know, I thought of you. I thought of you, Ed. I was going to reference you in that as well.
No, I thought that was a cute skit. I really liked that. That was pretty
cool.
Good. I thought it was interesting to hear Trump say, yeah, they're all corrupt except the ones that voted for me.
He didn't have a problem with the states he won. That was funny.
I thought that was cute. I like the one I just read on Facebook that says, Trump, he claims the RNC is against him. Yes, they're against all liberals.
Yeah, well, let me ask you this. So you're a Cruz supporter, and have you looked at any of the Cruz delegates that were chosen?
No, actually, and I'm finding that's what one of the other reasons I called you is I'm finding your discussion this week and last week very, very illuminating. It's probably one of the best dissections of what's going on. I even heard some of Theron referencing you on his show. I don't get to hear him every day, nor do I necessarily want to every day if this is going to be a constant pro-Trump rant. But I can take for an hour a week.
Look, I will still pull the lever for Cruz, begrudgingly. He's got time.
Like I said,
he's
I'm
got
not
time to win
Trump.
Me back.
I'm
know?
A not Trump now. That's
yeah.
all.
Yeah. Okay. So
but yeah, I'm really enjoying what I'm hearing. It's very illuminating. I will not pretend to be knowledgeable enough to make any comment whatsoever about the delegates in this state. I'm really enjoying listening. But I do think, as a general principle, I think Trump complaining about the rules and the maneuvering, hey, that's politics, but it's contact sport.
Yeah. Well, his complaining is probably not that he really feels that badly about it, but he knows if he complains, he gets other people riled up, and that brings support to him. So, he's doing what he does. This is part of his game plan. He's going to get people angry and riled up so they support him, because if people feel jilted, they're going to say, well, I want that outsider billionaire guy instead of another politician again. So he's just doing what he does. That's Trump, man.
Hey,
if you haven't read the book, you don't know him. I read the book. I know what he's doing.
Hey, Ed, I heard your call into Linda's show, and you talked about the media attention that Trump gets versus Cruz. And one would have to be a fool not to agree with that. And here's an example of that. I'm not saying it's good or bad. I'm just saying it's fact, But here's an example of that, the unintended consequences, I think, if you will, regarding Trump's the attention he gets in the media. I'm listening to NPR, the show Here and
what?
Now.
What?
And hey, I admit it. I listen to all different types of media, And there's some of the shows on NPR that I really like a lot. Anyway, I'm listening to a segment of Here and Now, and they're talking about Trump's been on all these networks like MSNBC, Fox, of course, you name it, and he will not come on NPR. They do a whole segment talking about Trump not coming on NPR. So Trump's getting all this attention, even though he's not on the NPR 4. So I thought the irony of that was really something.
Right.
And then my other thought, too, on Trump and Cruz and the whole war they've got, the personal war they've made it with the wives and everything else, is that what they need to do, assuming that, neither becomes the nominee, which is very far-fetched, but if they don't become the nominee, each of them doesn't become the nominee, they could make so much money by going on Celebrity Wife Swap. Can you picture it? The ratings would be
That's
through
creative.
The roof.
That is so creative. I think I'm going to steal that. That is so creative. I like that. That is so
cool. Is that
cool.
Show still on?
I don't know. I've seen it once or twice and it stinks. But I would watch it
if they were on it.
Before it became Celebrity Wife Swap and it was just regular Wife Swap, it was actually pretty good because you saw these contradicting values and then how much these people really loved each other when they got back together after 2 weeks of spending time with the other family.
Right. Yeah,
I was impressed. It was very touching. But when he became Celebrity Wife Swap, then it was garbage.
Yeah, I never saw the celebrity ones. I remember watching, you know, the Christian hanging out with the hippies and stuff. And
yeah, I love stuff like that because it's such a contradiction of cultures and beliefs.
Yeah.
And then how much they love each other, these husband and wife, at least they seem to profess that when they get back together after a couple weeks of being apart.
Once you got your paycheck, of course.
And then each family kind of learned from the other. I thought it was kind of cool as far as reality TV goes.
Yeah. Well, Ed, are you going to go after and look at the cruise delegates, or are you just going to trust them as is?
I've been extremely busy at work lately and long hours, so I'm depending on you to do my investigative journalism, and here you tell me you're getting tired and burned out.
I hear you.
I think I'm going to look into some of it. You know, I certainly don't want Kasich stealing Cruz votes. That's for sure.
I think it's in the wind.
I don't mind Cruz stealing
conspiracy.
Trump votes. That's fine by me.
I'll fashion you a tinfoil hat too, and you will wear it together. And trust me when I say I think the fix is in for Kasich. They're going to blow Cruz and Trump right out and try to stick in a Kasich.
You've got celebrity wife swap. We all win.
Gary, did you read my blog post on tinfoil hat?
I don't think I got it. Was it a Facebook post?
I referenced it on Facebook, but it was on my blog.
Oh, no, I'll have to go look for it.
Okay.
I'll go dig it up this afternoon. Okay.
The only thing was that Brandon triggered off in my mind was something I'd heard somebody commented on another blog about a debate between. And I can't even remember who it was, and it just spurred me on to say, wow, they ought to put that on pay-per-view. And it just made me think some debates, like a Trump-Cruz debate. Hey, put that on pay-per-view. Get these guys some money, you know?
Yeah.
I'd love to see a Trump-Cruz debate, a real debate.
Yeah.
Or a boxing match.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Same with I'd like to see a free Arena Clinton debate. You know, there's all these celebrity matchup debates. I'd pay. Yeah, take my money, please.
Okay. My mind's working in another. All right. Well, thanks for the call, Ed. I appreciate it. You take
Bye.
Care. All right. So before we take our next caller, there was a couple of things I wanted to get to, and this one just strikes me. And this is the reason, folks, I'm saying we need the change. We don't need more of the same old, same old. Derek, we're going to skip down to track two, okay? And this should incense you, should aggravate you, should make you angry as all get out. This is what the federal government stands for. This is the prime example of what our federal government, as it currently stands with these weenies we have elected for decades on end now. You got this next tractor?
It's frozen again.
Oh, it froze up on me. Boy, we got to get a new
computer,
I think. All right, what it comes down to is the Department of Defense, right? You think we've got money that we need to be spending on airplanes, on new uniforms, on whatever for our guys, right? The Department of Defense, Department of Depend. The Department of Dispense. I can't even get it out of my... Spent $6 million. Guess what they spent it on?
A new transgender battalion?
Close. Goat mating.
Well, goats have to mate.
So they...
It's called goat justice.
$6 million the Department of Defense spent on goat mating. What they were trying to do was make sure that there was enough male goats going to Afghanistan to have sex with the female goats so that they could get a cashmere business going for the Afghani people.
Ugh.
$6 million.
No nation building going on there with...
That's what I was... I'm thinking to myself, this is the poster child for stupidity and wasteful spending. Are you kidding me?
You know, when you have a bloated bureaucracy like that, among many in the federal government, it just seems like stuff like that goes on continuously. No matter how much media outrage there is over it, it never stops.
Yeah.
We'll hear about something just as bad next week.
Yeah, it's
or
crazy.
Next month or next year. It never stops.
Yeah, never does. Well, let's take a quick call from Walter while we wait and see if that unfreezes. It may be too late. Walter, welcome to the show.
Hey, man, like I said, you guys need to be on 3 hours. I can understand how some of these clowns, like this new guy that just took over, Bill Bennett's place.
Oh,
Hugh Hewitt.
Yes, he's aggravating.
Yeah, I can't stand him, man. It sounds like he's sitting there drinking coffee and eating food. You know, it sounds like that's what it's like. I mean, he's so casual and laid back, man. The guy just, his personality guy just don't click with me, you know. He needs to be reduced down to 10 minutes a day at the most.
Well, you know, he's got a resume, I guess, and of course he lets you know it. He's got a huge resume, a lot of things he's accomplished and done. And, you know, I've been listening. I find him aggravating. I'm not sure I like the delivery or anything else. But I will say I've learned a few things from the show.
Yeah, in his defense, I'll say this. I thought Bennett was a little too slow-moving, a little too, you know, talking with the callers like he's Uncle Bill, he's the grandfather. And then, well, I won't mention the other show that was on that time slot. But then I look at Hugh Hewitt. I listen to 20 minutes here and there, and his show does move along at a nice pace.
Does.
So I don't know if I would like him personally, and I haven't heard any of his bashing of Michigan and his love for Ohio. I haven't heard any of that yet.
I've heard a lot.
But I've heard others talking about how bad it is, so that would probably make me irate. But overall, the little bits I've heard, I don't mind him.
Yeah, it's been all right.
Yeah, they got on my nerves with that Uncle Bill stuff. I'd have got on there. He'd been filibustering me because I was just – told him how watered down he was. That's Bill Bennett, that is.
Yeah. At least Hugh moves along at a little quicker pace, you know, than Bill Bennett.
Yeah. What do you got, Walter?
Guess what, man? We don't talk about the sin of sodomy. That's what the Bible calls homosexuality, and it's another word in the New Testament that said those people that practice such things shall not go to heaven. I'm kind of paraphrasing that. Shall not enter the kingdom of God. And we know this spirit of that perversion is just prevailing in this country. Have you guys heard the latest, and I'm pretty sure you have, on the guys that's joining the ranks of the rebellion against North Carolina? And I'm just going to let you guess on this one. Guess who's the latest, a local guy?
I don't. But Springsteen was the guy that I heard last.
Yeah, he can't sing a lick, so I won't miss him anyway. He can take his concerts and take them some, and what is, you know, shove them where the sun don't shine, as far as I'm concerned. Him and the latest two I've heard is the one that made girls just want to have fun.
Oh, Cyndi Lauper, she's insane.
Yeah.
Oh, she's always been insane.
Let me make a comment on this, because I was ranting on this the other morning. You know what? I don't care if, you know, like Bruce Jenner. He went and took the hormones. He went and had the implants put in. But he's still a man down below. You know what? If you're a man down below, you go to the men's room. If you're a woman down below, you go to the woman's room. There should be no ifs, ands, or buts. I don't care what dress you're wearing. I don't care if you had an implant. I don't care if you wear bras or a man's tank top or whatever. It's what's down below that counts. If you have to sit, go to the woman's. If you can stand up, go to the men's.
Gary, that'd be a great country song. You're still a man down below.
You know what? Man, you guys are so funny. I'll tell you what, she can't sing a lick either. I won't say she got made it anywhere with that song. She couldn't sing a lick. And for all I'm concerned, she can get on out of here with her concerts and her so-called boycotting. We don't need either one of them.
In fact, we
need to boycott them clowns.
Yeah,
we need to boot them. But the latest guy I wanted to tell you is the Pistons head coach.
Oh, really?
Yes, Ted Bundy.
Van Gundy?
No, his name Gundy. Van Gundy. I call him Ted Bundy. I made a mistake there. Might as well be Ted Bundy.
He looks like the hedgehog, the former porn star.
You didn't hear that about that clown?
I did not. But, Walter, we're going to have to go. It's the hard break. We're coming up. The show's over. Make sure you call me earlier so we can get you in. We love talking to you, man.
Thanks, Walter.
Oh, man, I got lots of stuff to say. I'll call back a lot earlier next time.
All right. We'll see you guys. All right. Until next week, go to thedailydrift.com. And you can also catch a show at conservativeradionetwork.com tonight at 7 and tomorrow at 7. See you then.
It only matters what's down below.